Good morning, and how are we doing this morning? It is another beautiful day. It's warm. I welcome all of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pray that as we worship together today, you feel the presence of God and His message through the words that are shared with you. We will be doing communion this morning, so I ask that you wait with your elements until the time that I request us to take the elements, and that will come later in the service. We have 2 more weeks of vacation Bible school on Tuesday, so we're coming to the end of that. So looking forward to those last 2 weeks, really looking forward to the 18th when we have the dance party. So please keep watching and join us. And they've been sending out a day in advance notice with the items needed for the craft project, so please watch for that. And I will be going live again on Thursday as I normally do, so I'm looking forward to that. I always enjoy that time. I pray that you receive something from that as we spirit in that time together. That is next Sunday. Will be a different type of worship service. We're going to have a confirmation service. We will also be doing a baptism, as one of our confirmation students needs to be baptized before he can be confirmed. So join us for that next Sunday. We'll be doing that here in the parking lot. It won't be like a normal confirmation service because we can't gather in a group like we normally do. But we do want to celebrate and join with those students that have gone through the time of learning about their faith journey and starting that process. So next Sunday we'll be doing a confirmation service. So join us for that, please, and celebrate with those families. With that being said, I again welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, and let's join together as we sing our introit. Sing "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart" out of the Faith We Sing, number 2140.
Joy, oh my soul.
Since Jesus came into my heart, as I was setting up for this service and picking the hymns for today, I was thinking about the time of reflection. Dan and Heidi are not with us today, and Heidi usually does our time of reflection, and so I was trying to think how to follow in her footsteps, and so... As you all know, one of my favorite authors, spiritual authors, is Max Lucado, and I couldn't find my book, so I'll just have to go from memory, but one of the things that I remember, one of the books that he has that I really like has this little boy in it whose name is Punchinello, and Punchinello worries about what other people think, and in the community he lives in, people have a tendency to judge people and mark them with either a star or a circle. And if you get the star, it means that you are a good person and that you have talent and that you do a lot of good things. And if you get a circle, it means that they've tagged you and labeled you as not really being worth much. And so as I was thinking about that this week, and thinking back to some of my past days, I used to worry a whole lot more about what people thought of me, and I used to allow people to either put stars or circles on me as I was going through life. And unfortunately, we seem to remember the circles more than we remember the stars. I don't know about your life, but in my life, it seems like I remember more of the circles that were placed on me than the stars. Well, what the author of this story finally gets around to is that our Creator has made us and has given each of us a gift. And one little girl in this story, Punchinello, notices that as people try to place stars and circles on her, they don't stick. Neither the stars nor the circles stick. And what she has realized after being with the Creator who created them is that the only person that really has the right to judge us and place anything on us is God, who has given us the gifts He's given us. And as long as we are living out the gifts that He gave us, and it continues to give us, is that we are doing His work, His will. And so she helps Punchinello meet the Creator and get that message, and all of a sudden, all of the circles that the community has placed on Punchinello saying that he's not worthy start to fall off. And as he gets more embedded in listening to the Creator and being with the Creator and working with the Creator, the less things stick to him and the less he worries about what other people say about him or think about him. I think that needs to be true for us as well. We need to quit worrying so much about what other people say about us as long as we are fulfilling and doing what God has called us to do. And the gifts that we have been given, use them for God's creation and for God's will. So as we go forward into this new time, this new way, things are different, and so we need to take this time and really think about that and not let other people's opinions about us stick to us and define who we are, but help us to be with our Creator God and listen to the word that He has for us and the gifts that He has placed with us for His will. Thank you. Let's join together in our hymn of praise, Many Gifts, One Spirit, number 114. Let us be in a time of silent prayer. Gracious God, we come before you this morning and we ask that you make your presence known to us, that you guide us in all that we do. We ask for you to hear our prayers. You know the things that we are in need of, but we ask anyway, because that is what you ask us to do. You ask us to come to you with our petitions, with our request to be in conversation with you, to guide us in our days. Gracious God, we ask that you be with us and that you grant us rain to nourish the earth with your water. We ask that you fill us with your water, that we may be refreshed, for your water is the life-giving source. Grant us your peace, your love, and your grace in all that we do, that we may go forward and guide those who are searching for you. Guide us, allow us to be in your word and to listen for your call upon our lives. Help us to be open to the direction you are leading us. We ask that you be with all of those who need to feel your presence, those who are mourning, whether it be the loss of a loved one, a job, or anything else in their life. Grant us the presence to be there for each other. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, and may Jesus Christ guide us in all our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will now take a time of offering. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for these gifts that you have bestowed upon us. But not only these gifts, but the gift of life and the gift of love that came to us through Jesus Christ. Grant that we may use these gifts to your kingdom here on earth, following your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of preparation, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Hear these words of Scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far away from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened, they screamed. Just then, Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid." Peter replied, Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water towards Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, Lord, rescue me. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, you man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts? When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, you must be the Son of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, dear God, we come to you and ask that you be with us and that you open our hearts and our eyes and our ears that we may feel, see, and hear all that it is that you have for us this day through this time of message. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring honor and glory to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Jesus wanted some time alone, so he put the disciples in a boat and sent them to the other side of the lake where he was planning to go the next day. And they got in the boat and didn't think another thing about it. It's not like today where we look at the weather forecast to see whether we're going to have good weather as we go out to do things. They just took the Lord at his word and got in the boat to head to the other side. Jesus dismissed the crowd and went up the hill. Well, the passage just before this, if you remember our story from last week, was the feeding of the 5,000. So there were quite a few people, if we take this as happening right after that, there were quite a few people for Jesus to dismiss, to say goodbye to. So I don't imagine it was a short time, because people had heard of the miracles that Jesus had performed, and most everybody probably wanted to be in his close presence or even maybe have a chance to touch Jesus. So I don't imagine that that dismissal was anything that happened quickly, because on Sunday mornings when we were meeting together and I would stand at the back door and say goodbye, it wasn't like everybody just walked by. People wanted to say something. We wanted to shake hands, give hugs. It took a little while to make that happen, where I have that feeling it probably took a whole lot longer for Jesus with a crowd of 5,000. So after he dismissed all of them, he then went up the mountain to pray, to spend time with God his Father, to take that time to listen to what it was that God had for him in that moment. Now, it doesn't talk about what he and God talked about. It just talks about him going up the mountain, praying, and then coming down early the next morning. He was alone through the night. But he came down early the next morning, and the boat was far across the lake already, but having trouble because it was fighting headwinds. So he started to walk towards the boat, walking across the water. And of course, he didn't have any trouble walking on the water, and as the disciples saw him, they thought he was a ghost, and they were frightened, and they screamed out. And Jesus said, and I love the words that came out of his mouth, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Don't be afraid. For it is I. Isn't that great? You're scared to death. You think you see a ghost. The winds are beating on the boat. The water's coming over the sides of the boat. It's filling up. You got a lot to be afraid of. And the words that you hear from this ghost are, be encouraged. Don't be afraid. So then Peter issues a challenge to Jesus. Lord, if it's you, if it is truly you, command me to come. Command me to come. Jesus says one word, come. Peter gets out of the boat, trusts that what he has said is going to be true, and he starts to walk on the water. and is so typical of us human beings, he loses his focus. I think some of the disciples, probably if they'd have been able to be tested like we do today, would have been labeled with ADD. You know, they had a tendency to wander away in thought as they were working with Jesus. And this is another true example of that. Peter is on his way. He's walking on the water. That would be enough to freak me out. I don't know about you, but just the fact that I was able to walk on the water. And then he gets hit in the face with a blast of wind. And all of a sudden, his focus is off of the fact of what Jesus has done for him and given to him, and he's worried about the wind. He loses focus. And as he loses focus, he starts to sink. And what's his next request? He looks up at Jesus and he says, "Save me, rescue me." And Jesus reaches out his hand and says, "Take my hand." Peter takes his hand and Jesus pulls him up out of the water, and they continue on and they get to the boat and they crawl in the boat. And as soon as they're in the boat, the storm dies down. The storm dies down. And it then says that they fell to their knees and they worshiped Jesus. And their next statement was, "You must be the Son of God." I'm sorry, but they've been with him for quite a while. I would have thought that doubt had already been taken care of. I don't think with the things that Jesus had done for healing people and cleaning people and cleaning up things and doing the things he did, that there were, if I was one of his disciples, I'm not sure there'd have been any doubt in my mind. I'm not sure I would have had to say at that point, "He truly must be the Son of God." I think that would have already been taken care of for me. But that's the statement they make, is they worship him and then they say, "He truly must be the Son of God." But the thing I want us to concentrate on in this story is the fact that as Peter is sinking, Jesus reaches out, reaches down, and offers Peter his hand. And then he lifts Peter up. He's doing that for us. Jesus is reaching out to us with his hand. He's offering all of us his hand, and he is willing to pull us up, to rescue us, and allow us to be saved. All we have to do is reach out and accept his hand. Reach out and touch him and allow him to pull us up out of whatever it is that is happening to us at that moment. All we need to do is cry out, "Jesus, rescue me. Rescue me. Lift me up. Pull me into your care." Now, we all know that we've already been saved, but there are times in our lives where Satan is attacking us and things are going wrong. You know, there are times in our lives when we look at what's going on around us and we think, "Lord, how can it get any worse?" And then the next day happens. And there are times that next day brings something more. I can't tell you how many people I have talked to that says that the Bible tells us the Lord won't give us any more than we can handle. And then they say to me, "The Lord must think I'm a whole lot stronger than I am, because I think I've got everything I can handle, but he's handed me something more." Well, folks, the truth is that the Lord isn't going to give any of us any more than we can handle. And not only does the Lord think you are stronger, the Lord knows you are stronger. And like Peter, that is that time when we don't think we are strong enough, when we are weak, that we need to strengthen ourselves in our faith by reaching our hand out and saying, Lord Jesus, rescue me. And then taking his hand and allowing him to lead us where we need to go. To take the hand of Jesus and to rest in his grace and his peace. To rest in his love. To rest in his abiding strength. Because there are times where I know that I am not strong enough on my own. But I am strong enough with the help of Jesus Christ. Because Christ will see us through. That's his promise. Is that he is going to take us into salvation, into resurrection. All we have to do is reach out and accept his hand. So as you go about these next days of your life, reach out. Say to Jesus, rescue me, save me, and take his hand. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, that's my plea. Daily closer, walk with me. Amen. Let us join together in the liturgy for the communion service. There will be a time when I will ask you to respond after I say a line, and I will also say when we are to receive the elements. When we break bread together as a church in our worship, we remember that Jesus invited folks to his table as part of his ministry, not just at the Last Supper. So we want to create a way for all of us to break bread together with whatever we are able. I invite you to share here at the church as we worship in this drive-in service and with a group gathered online as we prepare to receive here at church or at home. I ask that you think about the gifts of love which God has supplied and the gift you are bringing to the table for this feast. As we receive the gifts and the elements, please wait as we will take the elements of communion together at the same time later in the service. Jesus used the parable of the great banquet to which all people are invited. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, the family of God, and what it looks like. He said, go to the highways and back alleys and urge people to come in so that my house will be filled. He often invited the most unlikely guests to his mealtimes, confounding the disciples. In this way, he was encouraging a deep love and connection between social norms. He knew that we humans needed connections and inclusion. Jesus comforts us, saying, you have a place at the table. And Jesus challenges us to make sure we are doing the same, showing that all people are welcome to join us in our hearts, in our homes, and in our churches, even if we cannot physically be with each other right now. It is difficult in this moment not to be near some of the people we love and might be worried about. Let us take a few moments in silence and lift the names of people you wish were right next to you at the table today before God. Jesus is no longer physically on earth, yet every time we gather around the table and we call him to mind, he is present with us in spirit. And so too are our loved ones with us. Let this be a comfort to us. We also want to call to mind the people we cannot name, whose names we do not know, but we know they need our prayers and God's comfort. For those who have lost loved ones, may they feel God's presence and comfort. For those who are sick and recovering, may they feel God's healing power. For those who are caring for loved ones who are sick at home, may they receive God's strength. For those who are caring for persons in medical care, may they feel God's compassion, grace, and love. For those who are separated from loved ones, may they feel the presence of Jesus Christ. For those who are feeling alone and isolated, may they be lifted by the power of the Holy Spirit and comfort of Jesus Christ. For those who are helping others and are so very tired, may they find rest in the loving embrace of Jesus Christ. For those who are struggling to find friends, food, and comfort, may they be filled with the Holy Spirit to the presence and comfort of God and His will. For those who are afraid, allow them to rest in the presence of God's promise of hope and love. I invite each of you to take a deep breath on behalf of all of those we do not know and cannot call by name. As we do so, we know that God knows who needs our prayers and the Spirit. The breath of God is blowing from within us outward as a spirit of compassion and presence. Again, take a deep breath and allow the breath of God to wash over you. Partaking in a blessing at the table is part of the Judeo-Christian heritage. Indeed, Jesus adapted his Jewish ritual of blessing spoken before and after meals. He asked us to remember him whenever we break bread and raise a cup in thanksgiving. This is why we call our communion prayer the Great Thanksgiving. In this feast of love and comfort, we call to mind things for which we are deeply grateful. I invite you to pause and say to yourself a couple of things that you are deeply grateful for in this moment. And so I invite you to raise your eyes towards heaven, or bow your head and let us bless these elements in this way. Please repeat each line after me. Holy Comforter, we gather in your name, invited by Jesus, bound together with your Spirit, in union with each other. Feed our bodies and our spirits with your comforting presence, so that we might be your comfort to others. Bless this food and break open our hearts. Bless this drink and pour out your love. Amen. Now is the time where we will receive communion. I would like you to assure you that all precautions have been taken to make this as safe as possible for those gathered here in person. You have a cup, and with that cup attached to the top is a wafer. I invite you to partake in communion at this time, whether you are here at the drive-in service or at your home. I invite you to imagine what extravagant love looks like as you reach across the social distance to loved ones, to friends, and even the acquaintance of strangers. And now as we gather in presence, or as you are sheltered in place, be in peace. May the peace and the comfort of Jesus Christ be present with you now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, dear and gracious God, we thank you for this day and for this time together. Whether we have gathered together here in this parking lot or whether we are gathered across the social media, we ask that you be with us, that you comfort us, that you fill us with your grace, your peace, and your love. Strengthen us for the days ahead, that we may reach out and accept your hand and say, Jesus, rescue me. Take my hand. Lead me on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us join together in the hymn of commitment. Make me a channel of your peace. Great hymn to end on, isn't it? Make me a channel of your peace. Allow me not to worry so much about being consoled as to console. It gives us good direction for where God is calling us to go and who God is calling us to be. So, before we leave, let us say together, so follow me, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Rescue me. Take my hand and guide me on. Lord, let us go forth and guide us and strengthen us in all that we do. Help us to remember, God loves you and so do I. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Amen.